So, Sasha, welcome back to Identity Crisis.
Ooh, welcome back. This is so exciting.
It's been a while since we've talked. It's been like a whole 24 hours, I think.
I know. I mean, people probably think that since we haven't done a podcast, we like aren't speaking to each other anymore or something, but we talk all the time. And yeah, we were just chatting 24 hours ago.
It's everyone else that I'm not speaking to. You are literally the only person I am speaking to anymore.
I'm so honored. It's been almost a year since we actually have put out Identity Crisis, I think.
I think we told them we were going on summer vacation and now it's March.
Yes, that's what it was. That's what happened. We told them. So it's been a year. I think it's been about a year. And we did take our summer vacation. We met in real life, which was really cool. And we just decided to extend our vacation because we felt that we had really said a lot. We wanted to take a break. We kind of both stepped back from participating in the discussion publicly and watched it explode into the mainstream, which was so weird. And now we're kind of ready to, you know, jump back in the conversation. And this time you are getting Identity Crisis unfiltered and uncensored. This is the extreme version, Identity Crisis extreme. So,
I mean, I think not to speak for you, but to kind of speak for you, I think we both kind of got a little bit burnt out before and we're both sort of perfectionists and we put a lot on ourselves. And so we cared so much about making the show so perfect. And then we kept talking all the time throughout the summer and beyond our super extended summer vacation. We were just hanging out the whole time. And eventually we realized that people would probably love to just listen in on our calls because we just talk about interesting shit all the time. We always say we're not going to talk about these issues, but then we start talking about it anyways. We can't help ourselves. So yeah, this is sort of like Identity Crisis Reborn.
Yeah, exactly. We just organically came back when we were ready because we, so last season of Identity Crisis, every episode was very curated to be very instructional and informational. And this season of Identity Crisis, we are just talking.
I'm also glad we moved to audio only. I think that the video aspect was putting a lot of pressure on us. You know, we kind of felt this need to always look good and look our best and look both professional, but also like pretty, but also like not too young so that we don't look stupid, blah, blah, blah. And no matter what we did, we got comments on how we looked. And, you know, we had other women saying that we looked not feminist enough because we look too pretty. But then of course other people will thank you for that. Love it. But you know, we just felt like the pressure on always looking good and keeping the video always high quality and we always had technical issues was a lot. And I think that was a barrier to us coming back. So I'm glad that now we're back, audio only, directly to your earphones. And we're just gonna be talking into your brain cells now. For you, you are a world famous queen of the TERFs. You got canceled in 2020 or was mm-hmm. it 2019?
It was 2020.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That ideal year. Exactly. When everything went great for everyone. Yep. And you got canceled for a tweet defending J.K. Rowling, who is defending Maya Forstater over believing that sex is real, essentially, and that women should have...
Not quite, because my tweet, I didn't tweet about J.K. Rowling. I probably did tweet about her, but I didn't get fired for that particular tweet. I got fired just in general for my TERF Twitter account. In my bio, it said, hashtag I stand with J.K. Rowling. And there you go. Yeah, so I was fired from my job as a literary agent. And, you know, you can look up all the details if you're interested of the sordid affair. And my situation kind of blew up because it all played out on Twitter. So everyone could see the stark injustice of it. And, you know, getting fired for saying something on my own time, on my personal account, something really reasonable and truthful, actually. And I got fired for basically knowing what a woman is and saying it. So that destroyed my chances of having a career in the American literary industry, but it did get me involved in writing and podcasting and interviewing people all about the topic of gender identity, trans ideology, and wokeness in general. And you can also now check out my writing on Tablet Magazine.
And this podcast is sort of a love child of our two cancellations, because when you were canceled, I had been canceled the year prior in a sort of similar, but kind of weirdly different in how it played out online situation, where I had written a Medium article called "Non-Binary is the New Not Like Other Girls, and It's Deeply Rooted in Misogyny." A real SEO title there. But this article got me fired from my job as a software engineer for writing on my personal Medium account about my opinion on a feminist issue. And that had happened, which led to me creating 4W and then Spinster. And then when I saw you got canceled, you were the first other young American woman who I saw really go through the same thing after me. And I immediately just connected with you and your story, which was playing out very publicly, whereas my story kind of was kept under wraps. And that was, I'm largely grateful for that. But I saw everything happening to you and reached out to you and said, hey, I went through something similar. If you ever need someone to talk to, let me know. And then you ignored me, which was fair. And then later you were like, hey. And
I don't think I ignored you. I think I sent a placeholder. Like,
I'll talk to you later.
Yes, I remember that because I really took note of your message. I remember actually talking about you to a lawyer that I was talking to, who had asked me, are there any other cases like yours so that we could bring a class action, or, you know, so that we could bring a case rather than just one person. And I actually mentioned your name. She didn't end up pursuing any of this, but
it was outside the statute of limitations at that point for me, because in Philly it wouldn't have worked.
There were so many reasons that we didn't/couldn't sue, but our cases had differences, but were similar in the sense that we were both canceled for being labeled trans exclusionary radical feminists,
and not just canceled but fired. Lost our jobs. And I think that that's something, you know, a lot of times the term cancel culture is thrown around like, oh, this person like was quote unquote canceled because people said mean things about them on Twitter. And, you know, there's a lot of anti-cancel culture people who will say, show me one example of a normal person who actually got fired over this. But we did. We are those normal people. We are not celebrities. We are not rich. Like, we don't come from money. Like, we needed these jobs. And honestly, like, after both of us got fired, we both had to move back in with family because we needed those jobs. And we're very lucky that we even had family to move back to at that point. But yeah, so we really kind of lived that before it was hitting its peak. And, you know, we really developed a great friendship out of it, though, which honestly, if someone asked me, like, if a genie in a bottle came to me and said, hey, would you take back your cancellation at this point? I would absolutely say no, because everything that came out of this, Spinster, 4W, my friendship with you, the work that I've gotten to do since, has all meant so much more to me than that stupid job, a stupid prompt works. Fuck you guys. Like, that was nothing. And everything that we've gotten to do after has been so much more. And I'm glad that we're back on this show now to talk about this publicly. I'm glad we took the break that we needed when we did. And now I'm glad to be back, because this is so much fun.
It is. It's always so much fun to talk to you, MK. Yeah, we're so excited to get to really delve into these issues again. We do have so much to say on what it's like to be silenced for these things. And it's given us so much perspective and opportunity to gain so much knowledge about these topics, because we've had to defend ourselves. We've had to really defend these issues. We know them inside out on certain topics. I don't pretend to know everything about all of, there's so many, you know, tentacles of this gender octopus, but there's certain things that we really know. And yeah, gross visual, I'm sorry. And we're so excited to share with all of you guys once again.
Yeah, I never thought when I first started getting involved in activism in, you know, 2012, you know, first for mental health and then for women's rights, like working with domestic violence shelters and then working for women's centers. I never thought that I would be canceled for being a feminist. And then I never thought I would be canceled from TERFs for being me. And that's what's so crazy, is it really does show that this tribalism will not get you anywhere. And while we're here to defend ourselves and what we believe on things, I think that would really, at least with you, Sasha, what really makes me respect you is that you are not out here defending yourself for your own ego. You have genuine opinions about ways to make the world better and things that will reduce suffering for the largest number of people. And those opinions are sometimes unpopular. And I think that that's what's important, is we're not just trying to say, oh, listen to me. We're saying that there is an actual argument here for a way that we can make the world less bad for a group of people. And you are saying that we are hateful and bigoted for saying that. And that's what's wrong. And that's what we're not going to shut up about. And it doesn't matter whether you're on the trans activist side or the TERF side, all of these people who are trying to cancel us and shut us down and silence us on both sides of this, honestly, are more concerned about their own egos than they are about actually helping people. And that's, at the end of the day, what we're both here for, is to try to fucking make this stupid world a better place. And maybe that's naive and maybe that's foolish, but I can't let go of it. And, you know, I talk a little bit later about my friends over at the Hetero Dorks podcast, but I recently appeared on an episode of theirs. You should go check it out if you don't already listen to them. If you like our show, you'll like theirs. And I was talking to Nina Paley over there, and she was basically saying that we should give up on trying to make the world a better place. Maybe that's not exactly what she was saying, but that's what I was hearing. And I couldn't help but fight her on that. And, you know, I've been feeling so burnt out lately, but hearing her say, you know, there's no point, we just need to survive and try to get through it, just made me, like, it just lit this fire in me that, like, I had this instinct to say, no, we have to fight. And so, yeah, I'm not going to stop fighting just because certain parts of this movement want me to shut up, or because certain other movements want me to shut up. You know, I do still have something to say. So if you guys like to listen to it, then I'll keep talking to you.
Yeah, I mean, I do kind of want to, I guess, disagree with the making the world a better place part, just from my perspective, because sometimes I run into problems when I try to be solution oriented, and then I find, like, it's more fruitful for me to just discuss to call the problems as I see them. But I think, and then I'll just turn the compliment back around on you, because I do truly think that you have the heart of an activist and you have that fire burning in you. And something that is just illustrates this little difference in our personalities, which I do think complement each other really well. And it's one of the reasons that I think we have so much fun and have a great podcast together, if I may say so myself. A couple months back, I had an article come out in Tablet Magazine about women in the workforce. And I remember discussing this with you and saying, like, you know, how should I frame this article? Because I was asked to write about this topic. And you gave me an idea. Why don't you write sort of like a defense of the trad wife and just like explore that? You know, you weren't necessarily saying that you personally promote that, or even that I should personally promote that, but it was an idea for sort of a contrarian, interesting article. And I liked it. And I was like, I'm going to do that. When I sat down to write it, I ran into an issue. I realized that I was trying to be too solution oriented. And that was a blockage for me in writing that article. And I had to sort of roll back a bit and just describe the problem as I saw it. And I kind of found that to be, I guess, a comfortable place for me, and a place that I feel comfortable speaking from. But I like that we both bring our different passion, our different fire, you know, to our discussions. Like, we both are interested in calling out the truth, calling out people who are lying, the emperor's new clothes. For me, that's my driving motivator from the start, is the fact that I feel like people are praising the emperor's clothes when the emperor is naked. And that automatically does actually, I think if you do it right, lead to making the world a little bit better, because you're, you are injecting some truth and hopefully sanity into the world.
I mean, I completely agree. You can say that's not solution oriented, but, or that you're not concerned about making the world a better place. But I think that describing the problem truthfully is so important in a world where we are forced to deny the reality of our own two eyes, our own ears, in favor of this new bullshit. And so I think a truthsayer is the first step, because you cannot solve the problem until you can see and hear and say the truth. And so you're right. I think this is why we get along so well, and why we, I mean, develop this really fun friendship that has really gone beyond this podcast. And I hope that the people listening enjoy it as well, because I just always find it so fun to talk to you. So what are we going to talk about this season on Identity Crisis?
So this season, I honestly just want to go in on everything insane coming out of the transgender camp. I mean, we have no reason to hold back. I think last season we had we were being at our most professional.
Always had that sort of personality where we're trying to please people, at least in our own in-group. And people might find that like weird, because we're people who spoke out on an issue that was unpopular and got ourselves canceled. But both of us sort of had the struggle of like, we wanted the rad femmes, or we wanted the GCs, or we wanted the whoever to accept us. And to some degree, we've each both found pushback in that community that has driven us to say, you know what, we should just be ourselves. And ourselves are the people who got us canceled and gave us this platform in the first place. And so if you're someone who disagrees with us about one little aspect of what we're saying here, that is 100% fine by us. You know, we don't need to agree with you on every tiny little minute detail. I think that what brings us together, at least what brought you and me together, is we care about women, and we care about these basic liberal freedoms of free speech, of a culture that isn't so mired in censorship that you're scared to say what you see with your own two eyes. And if you agree with us on some basis about that, those two things, then I think that there's something here, and we don't need to agree on every single tiny little thing. And I think that now you and I are sort of moving into this stage of our, you know, what we put out there, where we're willing to say the unpopular things, even among our communities. And I think it's going to be interesting, and maybe some people will like that and maybe some people won't. But I think that what I have always found is that when I say what is true for me and I don't hold back, I find the right people. Maybe I'm not very popular in general, but the right people find me and I find them. And that's how I found you, Sasha. And that's how I found many other good friends in this movement, who still remain my close friends and allies, even when we disagree. And I think that's the most valuable thing. And that's what I want to bring into our new season of Identity Crisis.
We don't necessarily have any allegiance to any given group. I will say for myself, I'm not a part of any movement. I'm not an activist. I'm not a feminist. If you don't like that, you can deal with it. I mean, you can just listen or not. And
I don't like that, and I deal with it every day.
Yeah, and you choose to listen. And I love that about you, the fact that you listen to me. One of my favorite qualities with you. Just kidding. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. We actually represent different viewpoints in terms of MK is a feminist. I am not a feminist. And I've had a journey with that, which you can hear if you want to go back and listen to my podcast and read my writing. But I don't have an allegiance to any particular group. I'm going to say what I think and call it how I see it. And my allegiance is to myself, to the truth, to what I see as just and fair. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And
I pledge allegiance to myself, you mean? Can I interrupt and derail for a sec? Okay. So I have a good friend, Nina Paley. She has been a woman who has been solid with me through thick and thin. And so I have a lot of respect for her as a friend, as someone who's like loyal and stands by you, but also I have a lot of respect for her in terms of standing by herself and sticking up for her own principles, no matter the consequences. And a problem that Nina has is that she has a sense of humor, and this gets her into a lot of trouble. And so recently she and a friend of hers named Corinna Cohn, who is a man who I wouldn't even say identifies as a woman, but it has transgender aspects in various ways. But he's fine being a he, so that's cool. But basically, she and Corinna have created this TERF Tranny Alliance, sort of this like ironic joke organization that's making fun of everything that gets all of these other organizations that we see in trouble, how there's all this infighting and how they eventually spiral into drama, like no matter what you try to do to prevent it. And it's been quite funny. But of course, people have gotten very mad about this. And what I find especially ironic is that, do you know who's mad about it? Both the RadFems and created is a TERF Tranny Alliance against the TERF Tranny Alliance.
That's beautiful. That is a beautiful thing.
Yes. And
this was Nina Paley's secret intention.
Yes, exactly. Time. And it worked. And so I made a pledge actually this year. My New Year's resolution was to not join anything, but I made a little bit of an exception and became a member. Don't tell anyone, but I became a member. So I am a pin holding member of the TERF Tranny Alliance. And I fully expect that to piss a lot of people off, but what I'll say is, if you don't have a sense of humor about this, I don't know how you can survive it. I mean, this whole thing is just genuinely so ridiculous, so outrageous that you can spend your whole life just being furious about it. And I guarantee you that's not good for your blood pressure. I don't think you're going to live that long under that sort of stress. And this is a coping mechanism to laugh about the state of things. And I think that if you're not able to have a sense of humor about yourself, about your own movement, there are gross incompetencies in our movement. There are organizations that are creating drama and falling apart every day around us. And if you can't laugh about it, you're just going to cry about it. And you know what? For many months, I did cry about it because I found it really heartbreaking and just devastating, the state of the movement. And I'm done crying now. So now I'm going to laugh. And I guess if you want to laugh with us, then you're welcome here. And I'd love for you to laugh along with us, because it's the only thing that we can do at this point, I think, besides just be out there and keep speaking our mind. I mean, it's the power that we have, is to speak and to laugh. We don't have much other power. So those are the two things I'm going to do.
Well, that was it for our episode 0 of season 2 of Identity Crisis. We hope you guys enjoyed hearing us catching up with you, and we're so excited to be back for season 2.
This is going to be a really good season, guys. So thank you for those of you who have been patient, and we look forward to dropping our next episode, which actually is already out right now. Wherever you're listening to this, you can go ahead and listen to the first official episode of the season.
Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next episode.